If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com, where we say stay well. But one of the things we also say is you get to take control of your health. Obviously, if genes affect you before the age of 25, they often take you where they want you to go. But after the age of 25, whether you're at the top of your curve or not, is to a large degree your choice. Today we have something that's really special and unusual in what we've done, and unusual in a book. The book is Easy to Love but Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, True Stories, edited by Tricia Blevin-Chazanoff and Lisa Davis. Lisa Davis is a mom to an amazing 9-year-old daughter, and we'll talk to her about what her daughter taught her. She's also a wife, dog owner, and radio show creator, host and producer of a number of health shows, including It's Your Health on NPR and Beauty Inside Out on Radio MD. So she is part of the Radio MD Stay Well family. Tricia Blevin-Chazanoff is a former neuroscientist turned freelance writer with a passion for understanding how the brain functions. She lives in southern Florida with her patient husband, old soul son, and spunky daughter. So, Tricia, I've got to ask you, what do you mean by old soul son?
He actually, what was not included in that bio was that he deals with Asperger's syndrome, which is actually does not exist as a diagnosis anymore, and has been taken up under the high-functioning autism umbrella. And he's 12 and a half years old, and he's going on about 70. And he doesn't always move through the world in a way that a typical 12 and a half year old boy would move through the world. And sometimes that creates problems for him. The plus side to so many of his struggles is that he does have an old soul view of the world. He understands things and makes connections between things and ideas that people who are far older than he is still struggle to do.
And this book is a series of essays, it's really about the power of stories. And what was impressive was that you quote the statistic, which is true, of course, is that 25%+ of adults are struggling with mental illness or some form of chronic mental, what you would call difference in function. Now, you wrote, and one of the amazing stories, in fact, the first story that leads it off, is a story, actually it's not the first story, it's called Traffic Lights, that you wrote. And yeah. I assume that's a story, first of all, how did you get the material for it? And who is that about?
Well, Traffic Lights is actually my story.
So that's what I thought, but I wanted you to bring it. So this is a series of stories, and you had a disorder of what type?
I still have a disorder. I have obsessive-compulsive disorder that started in earnest when I was 11 years old, and I suffered and struggled and lived in silence and in shame about that disorder until I was in my early 30s. And that was one of the big motivations. Lisa and I both had our own special motivations for creating this book. For me, those years that I spent in silence and in shame were my motivation for writing this book.
Well, I should tell the audience that it's almost a compelling rapid-fire set of essays. You start reading, and if you're like I am, and I try and read the books before I interview the authors, you get to this, and it is, how do I call it? It is so rapid fire and so wonderfully different than all the health books I get to see that it is, and it's a fascinating story. Obviously, you live in a different world than you did then. And so this, the book has a lot of what I would call positive outcomes, or how people are controlling their conditions now as part of that. So tell me how you, what's happened now. Obviously, life, you write, life is better today.
Yes. Go ahead. And I think that, you know, my story is very typical of a lot of the stories in the book. And I'm fine today, and I still struggle with anxiety.
Well, let me correct that, because your story is not typical. They're all different stories, so they aren't one pattern of disease. They're
correct.
A huge different, if you will, smorgasbord or buffet of diseases, and each one is written with a different tone. And your story, is, as I started reading it, out loud to Bridget, who's the co-host here, and I was reading, and it was it was almost like I had to read it at double speed, because it was, read so quickly and so intensely, and that's, these stories are intense.
Well, and I think what I meant by my story being typical is that, you know, we know that mental illness and neurological disorders are out there in the world. We know this. People don't talk about them. People talk about them when something dramatic happens, when there's a crime or suicide or some big kind of newsworthy event. What we don't hear and what we don't talk about are the stories like these stories in the book, these stories of people who could be your neighbor, could be your teacher, could be your bus driver, it could be the guy at the grocery store, could be your doctor, it could be your dentist, could be anybody, who are getting up every single day and living with these disorders in the way I was, the way every story, every author who shared their story in this book lived with their disorders, and so they're not stories of, you know, big dramatic crimes or horrible things. For the most part, there are some really horrible pieces, but they're stories of everyday people who are living bravely and doing what they need to do every day despite these disorders.
And how did, and I haven't called enough on Lisa, so let me go and flip to Lisa. I should tell you that the readers that the website for the book is itsyourhealthnetwork.com, itsyourhealthnetwork.com. How were the stories, how were the authors or the essayists chosen? How did you come to get that group of people?
Well, I wanted to do this book, and I originally wanted to write a story about my mother and my daughter and their issues, and I thought, I don't really have enough for a full book, so I reached out on Facebook, and I had known of Tricia and her work, and I messaged her and said, do you want to do this book? We can do a really cool anthology and highlight a lot of different stories and a lot of different people's struggles. And she said yes, and then we went on message boards, and we posted on Facebook, and we posted on Twitter, and we just used the magic of social media, and we got a lot of awesome stories. And it was really exciting to see the variety of stories. And one thing I want to mention as well, Dr. Roizen, is that the book has stories by people who have the issues, but it also has people by loved ones, like me. I have a story about my mother who had sensory processing disorder and my daughter who also has that and some other issues as well. And I think it's interesting to see how it is for people who live with the people, because it, let's be honest, it's challenging. That's why it's easy to love but hard to live with. It's sort of a double meaning. It's hard for the person who has a disorder, and unfortunately it can also be challenging for the people who love them.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some more of the specific essays that I really loved, one of which starts with A Terrible Job, but I'm going to talk to you also about caregiver and caregiver stress in general. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You're listening to Radio MD, RadioMD.com. Stay well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. We're a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes. We've been talking for the last few minutes and will be for the rest of this hour with the authors, Tricia Bliven-Chazanoff, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, and Lisa Davis, of Easy to Love but Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, True Stories. And it's the stories of, I don't know, what is it, 35 of these people in short story form, written in just this incredibly beautiful, incredibly compelling way. So one of the things that is interesting is in telling these stories or in talking about them, there also is a question-answer period for experts on each of these entities. So, Lisa, why'd you decide to have experts, what I would call moderate some of the stories? So right at the end of the story, it looks like there's a way to get more information about what you wrote about.
Well, I think, you know, one of the big goals of the book is for people who are reading it to say, oh, my gosh, that sounds like me, or it sounds like, you know, one of my loved ones or my coworkers. And if you read the story and it really resonates with you personally, or you give it to them, it resonates with them, they might be thinking, wow, this was great, but now what? What? I need some advice. I need some help. And, whoa, hey, it's right there, you know. So I, because of my radio shows, I have access to top experts in all these fields, and I was able to reach out to them, and they were all so generous with their time and giving of their time to us and having them be part of the book, which was wonderful. One of my favorites is actually Areva Martin, who you'll see on CNN all the time, and she's a wonderful person. She's a wonderful advocate, and it's really meaningful to have such well-versed and respected people in the book helping out.
Tricia, you told these as stories. Well, it looks to me like all of these are stories, plus the expert fill-in after the story for the question-answer period. Why did you decide to do it as stories?
Because stories reach people. And our world, our community, our lives are all made up of stories of one form or another. And it's how we kind of define our own identities. It's how we relate to each other. It's how we create our communities. And I think there's tremendous power in stories. And one challenge that I think we all face is that we hide our stories. We present these sanitized, idealized versions of our lives, and we don't want to let people know how scary and messy our lives can be at times. But as soon as we do, we open ourselves up for connection. So just to use myself as an example, you know, I mentioned that I suffered in silence with OCD for 2 decades before I got a diagnosis. And the reason I got a diagnosis is because I was reading a story one day. I was reading a story of somebody who could have been me. She described my symptoms, my fears, my obsessions, my compulsions. And up until I read that story, I thought that my OCD was a character flaw. I thought that I would be better. I would get better if I would just have more willpower, if I was a better person, if I was stronger, if I was smarter. And I thought it was a bad habit or character flaw. I didn't realize until I read that story that I had a mental illness. I had a disease that could be treated and could be addressed. And all of a sudden, I was able to be set free from that shame and understand myself in a different way. And so it was that story that made that connection for me. And our feeling is if one person out there reads this book and sees themselves in one of these stories, and these stories are so, as you said, they're brutally honest and very real, and they're people who have just offered themselves up so that other people, other readers, may have the opportunity to feel that connection.
If the people, and this is a very interesting thing, there's almost, I mean, the stories are written with such power and such, how much editing did you have to do on the stories versus how much is almost native, if you will, to the author? Because these stories are so powerful. I'm wondering, should I be giving you credit for all this great editing, you and Lisa credit for all the great editing? We're talking to the authors of Easy to Love but Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, True Stories, and these are really powerful stories. And the website is itsyourhealthnetwork.com. The stories, and I'm so, Tricia and Lisa, how much editing did you do versus how much is the native true story?
I think that depends on the story. There are a few stories in there that came to us beautifully. Catherine Ellison had a story that I think we barely touched, and there were one or two others that we barely touched. But the rest, we edited, and it was a very difficult task because really the courage and the passion was all there, but not everybody is really a writer. And so what we did and what we worked really hard to do was to craft these stories and make them readable and have a flow to them while still preserving the individual voice of each contributor. And what you said in the very beginning that they all read differently, and that's always, every time somebody says that, that's a big relief to me because it means that we did our job, our editing job, well.
Now, Lisa, you also have a story in here called Deja Vu. Tell us about the story.
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, my mother had what we now know is sensory processing disorders. Everything is too loud and too bright, and the house was like an icebox, and she always had it dark, and she spent hours a day in her room in the dark, and everyone just like, what is wrong with your mother? Diane's just quirky, but I saw that she was suffering, and she would go to all these doctors, and everyone just told her she was crazy and hyper and, you know, anxious, which she became because of all the denial. And then she unfortunately died in her 50s from ovarian cancer, never being validated. And the reason I know she had sensory processing disorder, because when I had my daughter, she started showing all the same signs, and it was, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't go through this again. It was hard enough with my mother, and is my mom going to have, or my daughter going to have a life like my mom? But it took a few years, and we finally the diagnosis started coming in, and my daughter has help at school, and she has friends, and she has specialists who understand her, and she has medication, and I mean, it's such a different life, and that there is hope, and there's some great after stories. One of them is by one of her specialists who just shows how much my daughter's grown and changed, and we still have struggles. There's daily struggles. but she's not going to live in the dark and the fear and the hopelessness that my mother had.
And now, if you guys had to say, what's your greatest, I mean, part of this lesson is that writing these stories, it seems, helps the people with the story.
I agree.
Yes, and you know, I'm sure you know this, that even in a healthcare setting, that they've shown that being able to tell you the story of your illness and your recovery is a tremendous health.
I'm going to have to cut you off because of hard stop. Easy to love, but hard to live with. Real people, invisible disabilities, true stories, wonderful. Easy to love is how you get it on Amazon.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.